It's so wonderful to see so many new faces this evening and so many young faces. Thank you all for coming. And our prayer is that you all learn benefit from being together, praying together, fellowship. We're well fed. Glory to God for all things. Really, it is this beautiful thing that you do and include us into, and thank you for your generosity. The topic for this year is quite very good, very necessary, and we could talk about it for hours, probably. So, but that will be, we'll just take the high points of each of the talk and try to practice on our own so we can have the experience of the prayer rule, and especially with about the prayer rule of the monastics or in the monastic community, or monks and nuns. You'll hear me referring to that throughout the talk. Monks, nuns, monastics, monastic community, all of that, it's all in one. This is a very large subject because there are volumes and volumes written about the experience and the practice of prayer, especially in the monastic world over the years. But tonight you'll just hear a few words about kind of a general and outline, so you have some understanding of that is. So for monastics, is for all of us, it is of great importance that there is a regular schedule of appointed times for worship, for personal prayer, and the time in between, which would be filled with study or manual work. So that's the framework of the life of a monastic. There are three aspects of prayer for the monastic: the liturgical worship, the personal or private prayer, you would say, and the time in between, as I said, during the work hours. The main work of a monastic community is, no matter how large or how small that community is, it will be the worship. This time I'm referring to the liturgical cycle of prayers in the church, of the services of the church as the church. The seven lauds, or the seven times of prayer during the 24 hours, and the holy liturgy. At the appropriate time that is set for each community, early in the early hours of the morning, which is any time after midnight and before dawn, the monks gather in the monastery church for midnight office, matins, hours, first, third, and sixth hour, and the holy liturgy is served. This can take approximately 3.5 to 4 hours. The next important service of the monastic as a community will be late afternoon to early evening. That consists of the ninth hour and vespers regularly. That takes about an hour. Then dinner after follows vespers. And then is the last service as a community, prayer time as a community, which is compline. During the regular time of the year is small compline with a canon to the Mother of God. During Great Lent is Great Compline. Some of you are familiar with Small Compline and Great Compline during Lent. So with Compline, at times we can sing an Akathist or a canon to a saint. So there's a little bit of variation there. That may take 30 to 40 minutes. That's the time for worship as a community, all together at the same time, in the same place. Many times, the monastics, as part of communal worship, will offer services of thanksgiving at different times of the year for anniversaries or prayers in time of war or drought or disasters, that a community will get together for those prayers, or be added to the times, the other times of prayers. Holy unction, memorial services, this all makes for the worship as a community. Intercessory prayers, on behalf of the church in general, and of the people who ask in particular at particular times, a very important aspect of the prayer of the monastics. This intercessory prayers are for specific needs, and this, that it can be part of the worship as a community and part of the personal prayer of each monastic in their own private prayer and time during the day. This is the offering which makes maybe a difference in the monastic community and the lay people, members of the church. That's where the monastic communities would be considered as the emergency responders. We get calls for people on the way to the hospital, on the way to the or being in ICU, or somebody is on deathbed, or surgery, or going through a divorce, or having a child on drugs. All sorts of situations in people's life that people will call the monastery for such situation to help them go through those difficult times. As for private prayer, for personal prayer, every monastic spends some time in the privacy of their own room at the end of the day and after rising from sleep before going to church. This may consist of a time of recollection of thoughts, some spiritual reading, evening prayers as you find them in your prayer book, and some time for the Jesus prayer. Saying the Jesus prayer may be accompanied by bows or prostrations, and you heard Father Michael mentioning that. When waking up from rest, one gives glory to God for the new day, reciting the Trisagion prayers, morning prayers, and a few moments of sitting quietly, which is very important, part of our day, and it's recommended for everyone to find a few moments during the day to sit quietly. During the remaining time of the day, the monastics strive to keep their minds on God as they do their work. So thus, the work of the monasteries needs to be conductive to prayer. This is why you see monasteries do gardening or growing their own foods, vegetables, ecclesiastical garments, iconography, handiwork as prayer robes and other things that you see on the table there, carvings or paintings. The work with the hands is necessary for the bodily discipline. Writing and publishing as intellectual work also has been in the tradition of the monastics. In some large community where several monastics work in the same space, in the same workroom, they might have the practice of saying the Jesus prayer out loud during their work time, so they can be focused on God and help keeping their thoughts on God, their minds on God, and not to fall into a habit of chattering and chit-chatting. We're talking about unnecessary things, which is very easy for any of us, to fall into that. So there are ways of kind of protecting ourselves from those temptations that come from the devil. This kind of discipline helps one to achieve unceasing prayer. As you can see, that unceasing prayer is not kneeling or standing in front of the icon or in the church 24/7, but rather offering every moment of our life to God in everything we do. It is a way of life. There is a saying that if one prays only when prays, one never prays. If you pray only when you pray, you never pray. You cannot say, now I pray, now I don't. All our life is in that relationship with God. So in the beginning years of organized monastic communities during St. Pachomius' time in the desert, in the Egyptian desert, The rule of prayer seemed to have been quite simple, that monks would gather in the church, chanting a group of psalms, and then followed by instruction from the elder. And they did that several times a day, and they're just coming together in groups, reciting psalms, sitting quietly, and listening to the word of instruction. Of course, and later on, the monastic communities have developed, organized, and encompassed the fuller, richer liturgical life. So the role of prayer for the monastics is as important as the rule. Being aware of the importance of prayer, the benefit of prayer is of great importance. So the activity of the monastics is all part of achieving a state of continual prayer. How do we do that? There are a few elements of that too. Repentance is key. It's a key ingredient in prayer. A humble heart, a contrite spirit. Obedience, fasting, prostrations, abstinence, the practice of virtues, which in the monastic world we call, in one word, ascesis. So are the practical aspect of prayer and the way to achieve what the Holy Fathers refer to as noetic prayer or pure prayer. There's a certain atmosphere of intensity and the expectation, anticipation, in all that is done in a monastery. There's no time to waste, basically. And you're always focused on its intent, on what you have to do, anticipating the next moment and how you're going to perform that. In this way, one is alert and vigilant. This helps one to stay fixed on God and what is important, and be on guard not to fall into temptation. In the monastery, time is used wisely and productively. St. Basil writes, prayer time should cover the whole life, but there is absolute need at certain intervals to interrupt the bending of knees and the chanting of psalms. Cannot really stretch your bow too tight, it may break. So also, many of the other fathers of the Philokalia and the contemporary fathers of Mount Athos advise monks to do two things constantly, prayer and contemplation. So that's why they refer to the time when you're not bending the knees or chanting the psalms. We refer to contemplation, and this contemplation is by Saint Joseph de Hazzicott refers to contemplation on the glory of God, contemplating, meditating on the glory of heaven, the darkness of hell, the last judgment. Meditate on the right, on the scriptures. One benefit of such contemplation is that it will keep us in a spiritual mode of thinking. So he explains, we should never stop contemplating death and other such meditations. All these contemplations bring watchfulness to the soul and purify and cleanse the mind. This contemplation is a barrier for evil thoughts. When we have spiritual contemplation within us, we shut out evil thoughts. There's no room for them in us because contemplation has occupied the space of mind. So I hope you understand what I'm saying here, that not to, during the day we contemplate. Contemplation is a sense of what do we think, where our mind is, of occupying our mind, which is in constant movement. This is how God has created it. And Mother Father Roman would say that our minds is like a grinding mill that never stops. It depends what you put in it, what kind of grain you're going to grind. This is what we're referring to, having our minds on God and the Holy Scripture. St. John Cassian also teaches, before the time of prayer, We put ourselves in a state of mind we wish to have in us when we actually pray. So this word we're talking is referring to is preparing for the moment of prayer, basically. So it is an inexorable fact that the condition of the soul at the time of prayer depends on what shaped it beforehand. The soul will rise to the heights of heaven or plunge to the things of the earth, depending on what it lingered before the time of prayer. St. John of Sinai also observes how the remembrance of God throughout the day clears the path for progress in prayer. Prepare yourself for the set time of prayer by unceasing prayer in your soul. I have seen those who shone in obedience and tried as far as they could to have the remembrance of God, and the moment they stood in prayer, they were masters of their minds, because they were prepared for this beforehand by obedience. The time and discipline of prayer shows the monk's love for God. Saint Emilianus of Simono Petra says that if we cannot guard our minds during prayer, is a sign of lack of God. That scared me when I read that. Yes. How difficult it is to keep your mind on prayer, on God, especially during the time of prayer. We all know we all struggle with that, but he says that that's a sign of that we don't love God that much. No, it hurts. Yeah. One particular aspect of the monk's prayer room that is different, and say, than a layperson's room, is the night vigil. The prayer during the night. A short word about the importance of keeping vigil and praying at night. The night has been viewed as the best time for prayer. We find this in the Holy Scripture. Isaiah says, "In the night my soul awakes to you, O God." David, in several of the Psalms, says, "In the middle of the night I arose to praise you, O Lord." Our Lord himself showed us by example. The Gospel says that Jesus persevered in prayer all throughout the night. Also, he announced his future coming by saying, "Blessed are the servants whom their Lord will find watching when he comes, whether he will come in the evening or at midnight or at cock crow, blessed are those whom he finds awake." All the monastic fathers agree to the importance of prayer at night. St. Isaac the Syrian boldly writes, "Prayer offered at night possesses a great power, more so than the prayer of the daytime. All the righteous prayed during the night. There's nothing which Satan fears so much as prayer offered during vigilance at night." St. Paisius of the Holy Mountain says, "Prayer during the night is much more beneficial than prayer during the day, as the nighttime rain is so favorable to the plants, more favorable than the rain during the day." Elder Emilianus also taught his monks, "1 hour of prayer at night has more power than 10 hours of prayer during the daytime. Whoever fails to use some of the night time in prayer passes his hours of the day unproductively." He also taught his monks about the struggle of keeping vigil at night. It takes effort. The night is the realm into which a monk immerses himself and truly lives. The night has great importance because it is the hour and place of mystical encounters, the experience of our pain and struggle. It is also the darkness of our soul and the hope of light. The night is the direct confrontation of ourselves, which is nothing but nakedness and poverty. At night, there is no one to speak with, There is no friend or consolation of others. There is no praise or a response, which is a form of love that will come from another. One needs martyric perseverance, the strength of the martyrs, and patience to proceed in the struggle of the night. The monks who keep vigil at night are the voice of the church. In conclusion, the prayer rule of the monk is not strictly only the exact hour in prayer, an exact number of prayers or psalms recited at any given time. It encompasses every aspect of life and every activity, every fiber of one's being. Well, let's not idolize the monk either. Monastics are not perfect and they're not holy. But they are the ones who have had the courage to make a promise to struggle for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the whole world, for the salvation of mankind. The beauty of the Orthodox monasticism, the rule of Orthodox monasticism, is in the freedom of each member to grow spiritually in a well-structured way of life, in a setup well-structured, without the straitjacket of the rule as the law, but rather under the careful and compassionate care and guidance of a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, a spiritual brother or sister, all helping one another in our salvation, our way of salvation. Spiritual fathers are like lighthouses for those who travel the way of the Lord. So find a spiritual father, a spiritual brother or sister who you can share with, encourage one another to in your prayer role, in your prayer life. I know there are communities, even in the parish communities, that they have a prayer group, which is very good. I think it's very healthy, it's very good, that certain people agree to pray at the same time wherever they are. That's a monastic way of prayers also for those who live as hesychasts or by themselves, not in a community, and that they agree to pray at the same time, the same prayers, wherever they are. So there are places in the world where someone will signal that time of prayer, and those who hear the signal of the bell or the simandrum, they will leave their handiwork or other occupation and will pray at the same time. So prayer is really the link that ties all of us together. This is what it is, really, that we know. That is what unites us wherever we are, how important that is. And the other important thing about this is knowing that if I am weak or tired, someone is praying for me also. For you who are in the world, I hope it is encouraging to see some of us, a handful of us, dressed in black, to know that's what they do, that's what we do, that we'll pray, or maybe we'll set a few more hours of the day to pray for us, but for the rest of the world also. So we complement each other. You do some other work. You do your own work of ascesis and sacrifice. And there's much of that you do that we don't. But each one of us have their own place. We have our own place. Wherever God has placed us, that we sustain and support one another. That's the beauty of the community, of being one in Christ in that. And of course, one is weak and is upheld by the other. One is strong. Maybe I'm strong today, but I'm weak tomorrow, and I'm upheld and sustained by the prayers of the others. That's the beauty of it, and I hope this is what you take home tonight and remember that. We remember you, and we know that you make a great sacrifice and you work hard to help us also, helping one another. And in all one day, we'll be able to stand before God and say, I know you, and I know you, and I know you, and you know me. Thank you for being part of of all of the body of Christ that we can stand before God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Take some questions.